Do you get the feeling that some people today are confused about bread? I don't mean that they don't know what bread is or in general what they might do with it, but maybe there are enough questions about what's best. Certainly there are some people who know there are particular parts of bread that their body just doesn't handle. And they need to be gluten-free. Can't just take any loaf of bread off the shelf and eat it, or that's going to cause trouble. So they find other alternatives. And thankfully for them, there are plenty of other alternatives available in the market today. Others have maybe figured out that, you know, if they take bread out of their eating habits, maybe that makes it a little bit easier to lose the couple of pounds that they'd like to, or keep some weight off, or maybe it just makes them feel a little bit better. And it doesn't really matter what other people say, like, oh, of course some bread is good for you. They're just not sure that they want to include that. And it's really not just bread either, is it? Because if you're trying to eat to achieve certain goals, you'll find all sorts of conflicting information out there about what's good for you or about what's bad for you. And sometimes it's presented in the exact same way. A study comes out and says, this food is wonderful. And then the next day another study comes out and says, don't eat that. It'll probably kill you and very soon. And it can get very confusing. No wonder people are at times confused. Now, people at the time when Jesus lived, and in that area of the world, were not confused about bread. Bread for them was a staple, if not the staple. It was the main part of their diet. It was the thing that they ate as much as anything else, if not more than anything else. Even at times when God said, for religious observation, we're going to avoid eating yeast, the people still made bread, a different sort of bread without yeast. The people weren't confused, at least, about physical bread, earthly bread. But they sure were trying hard to figure out and understand spiritual bread. And Jesus was teaching them about himself as the bread of life. As he did so, he repeated a few ideas over and over. He brought them, hopefully, to a deeper understanding. He added some thoughts, forced them to think very carefully about what he meant. And as they did that, as he did that, they were asked to confront a lot of their own thinking, a lot of their own ideas, because there were just things that they thought they had figured out. And they were coming to find out that Jesus had so much more to teach them and to say. So let's remind ourselves a little bit of the context for our reading today from John chapter 6. Jesus had recently performed a miracle with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus had fed over 5,000 people who were gathered around him in a remote place. And they even had baskets full of leftovers when everything was said and done. That crowd followed Jesus from that place to a new place, and at that new place, Jesus accused them. He said, you're only here because of the physical things. You're only here because of the bread, the food that I provided for you. And of course, Jesus was right. Those people had eaten their fill of bread and fish, but they knew they would be hungry again. So why not follow the one who could provide food for them? They wanted Jesus to take care of their physical needs. What they didn't get was that they needed Jesus even more for their spiritual needs. So Jesus taught them that he was, and he taught them that he is the bread of life. He's much more than someone who just provides in physical ways. He's what those people needed most. He's their Savior. Believe in him, and you will never be hungry or thirsty again. But there's the problem. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe the things that he was telling them. They still didn't get it. They still didn't really make sense of what Jesus was trying to explain to them. So he goes even more into it. He talks about how he's come down from heaven. He talks about the people whom the Father has given to him. He talks about doing the will of his Father. He talks about not losing any of those people whom the Father gives him, but raising them up instead on the last day. This is amazing news that Jesus was sharing with the people. Telling them that they would never be hungry or never be thirsty again meant that they would have everything that they needed spiritually. He was offering them bread that would make them live forever. And he was even sharing details about what that meant, that he would bring back to life all those who trust in him, who put their confidence in him. This was the best news of all. This was the best news possible, and it came to them directly from God himself. And did you catch how the people reacted? This doesn't make sense. Jesus is saying that he came down from heaven. We know that he didn't come down from heaven. We know his parents. We know Mary and Joseph. We know the small town of Nazareth that he calls his hometown. And let me tell you, that place is not heaven. They were doubting. They were rejecting. They were depending on their own intelligence, their own ability to figure things out, their own wisdom, their own insight. And Jesus kept on telling them that they needed something else, and they needed something more. They needed the Father to draw them. They needed the Father to teach them. These are words from our text. Jesus answered them, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And then he even quotes from Isaiah the prophet, and he talks about the Messiah's work, his own work. He says, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God." That's because people weren't going to figure it out on their own. They weren't going to figure out Jesus on their own. Trying to do that was going to be worse for them than for us trying to decipher contradictory dieting advice. No, people are born. We are born as enemies of God. So our intelligence is limited to earthly things, and even in understanding earthly things, it's still limited. We need God to overcome our stubborn unbelief. We need God to lead us to put our trust in Jesus. Our own reason, our own rationalizing, those things can only get in the way. They're not helpful, they're not useful. What we need to do is listen to God in his word. We need to hear his message. And in his word and in that message, God reveals that he sent Jesus to be our Savior. He reveals that Jesus is true God in the flesh in order to live in our place. He tells us that Jesus died, and he offered himself as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. And through that message, through that word, he calls us to believe it. And Jesus expresses this several times over in our verses. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." Jesus uses that metaphor. Eating this bread means believing in Jesus as Savior. He's talking about faith. You can look through these verses and just see how many times Jesus emphasizes faith. I think I've got these in order. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. You do not believe. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. Amen, amen, I tell you, the one who believes in me has eternal life. It's impossible to miss that Jesus is calling these people to faith. He wants them to believe. He wants them to put their confidence in him as Savior. He's worked hard to take their eyes off of earthly things, off of physical things, to put them on the spiritual things, to put them on the heavenly things. And he makes it abundantly clear why he's doing that. Because he has in mind the blessed, incredible, amazing result. That result is eternal life. He will raise to life those who have fallen asleep. He will glorify all who have believed in him so that he might have them live with him forever. He was going to give his own life and then be raised from the dead. And he would bring many people to follow that same path. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In this way, Jesus is clearly even better than the manna that people ate in the wilderness. No one whose bodies had been nourished by that bread was still on earth, even at Jesus' time, to say nothing of today. But those who eat this bread, the bread that Jesus is talking about, do not die. They live forever. And the other readings that we heard in our service today tell us about that same message. They say that it's true wisdom to eat this bread. It's true wisdom to learn what God teaches and to humbly receive it, to believe what it says, to put it into practice in our lives. These people grumbled. They were questioning. They were doubting. They thought they had everything figured out. They were caught up in their own supposed wisdom. And so just like people in the world around us, they were focused only on earthly wisdom, on worldly wisdom. They wanted things to make sense in their own minds. If things fit their logic, then they could trust. So tenderly and lovingly and carefully and clearly, Jesus teaches them that his words are wisdom, and his words give life. He came down as the bread from heaven, the living bread, the bread of life, and eating this bread, believing in him, gives heaven. It gives eternal life. So we read these words as warnings and encouragement. We face the temptation to believe only when we think we understand, when we can make sense out of things. How many times are there that we think God should listen to us? God should do the things that we think make sense in our wisdom. But of course, that's the height of arrogance. It's the height of foolishness for us. There's so much about God, and so much about our lives, and so much about this world that we cannot possibly understand. We can't understand why God loves this world as much as he does. Can't understand why God loves us as much as he does. But God has drawn us, and he has taught us. He's made us his own. He's fed us with the bread of life, and that's enough. That's enough for us to make sense of even a world around us that doesn't always make sense. It's enough to keep our entire lives in the proper perspective. And it's enough to give us eternal life with Him. That means eating this bread of life. It means regularly craving it, cherishing it, eating it. It means listening attentively to His Word, applying it not only to our hearts or to our minds, but also to our lives and our actions. And it means that we've got something to share with others who are still foolish and confused and lost and hungry and thirsty. Certainly there will be times when we are confused about earthly things. With so many ideas out there, maybe we're even confused about what sort of bread we should eat and how much. But we can never get too much of this, the bread of life. This is the one who came down from heaven for us, and He is the one who promises heaven to us. And He, Jesus, our Savior, says, "I am the bread of life. Believe in me. Amen."